We've interviewed a lot of musicians on the show, but recently we got a chance to interview the greatest rock band ever in all of history. That would be Tenacious D, also known as actor Jack Black, and his friend Kyle Gass.
We were joined by Brian Babylon, Charlie Pierce, and Roxanne Roberts, and we began with Jack Black trying to describe what their music is all about.
Well, it's been said that we're a combination of Black Sabbath and who's the other band, Cage? We're horrible at describing ourselves.
Apparently. I would say like Black Sabbath and Simon and Garfunkel.
Thank you.
If you could imagine that.
Yeah, we revel in the 1970s and 80s rock when Satan was real.
Exactly. He has since retired.
He's sold out.
Yeah. Because we hear sometimes from heavy metal bands who are like, no, we're not really Satanists. You know, but you guys really are, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm interested. You guys met back in the 80s when you were both in the Actors Gang, right? Tim Robbins' group out in L.A.
It's true.
And you started playing music together as part of that?
Well, Kyle was sort of the official de facto musician of the theater company at the time. And I tried to hold on to Kyle's coattails, but he kept on kicking me off. I was like a little dog humping his leg.
Yeah.
And then finally he let me in. I melted his icy shield. And we spent years just in his apartment jamming stonily along, searching for our sound. And finally, we worked up the courage to go play a little dive bar in downtown Los Angeles, and we only had one song, and it was the greatest song in the world, Tribute.
Tribute is a great song.
Yeah, and thus was born.
And thus was born Tenacious.
So, hey, Jack, sometimes when you sing songs and you're able to, like, not say words, but, like, say noises, like, zip-a-doo-doo, ba-doo-ba-doo-doo-doo-doo. How do you do that, man? That's amazing.
The scat?
The scats, man. Those scats
are... come from?
That's a lot of power to scats. Man.
Well, you know, I'm heavily influenced by Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, sure. You can hear that.
I would watch in the back of the audience and in wonder, because he satisfied a certain thing in me. I wanted to be a one-man show. I wasn't able to do it. That's why me and Kyle had to join forces. But if I could, I would be reincarnated as Bobby McFerrin Jr.
Lyrics are kind of overrated anyway, aren't they?
For most, yeah. If you listen to the greatest rock band of all time, Led Zeppelin,
yes,
the lyrics are mostly gobbledygook.
You mean there's no bustle in my hedgerow?
Yeah.
I got alarmed for nothing.
Does anyone remember laughter?
Yeah, go on.
We place a high premium on our lyrics because the comedy is the source of our power. So
they are very, very funny.
Yeah,
they're hilariously funny and extraordinarily profane. In fact, we noticed that there's an explicit version of the new record and a clean version. We're guessing the clean version is 2 minutes long.
No, no.
No, really?
We took great pains to replace all the cuss words with creative, funny alternatives that were clean enough for the kids.
Can you give me an example
and
of
the
a...
the religious people.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of, like, your favorite fake cuss word you had to put in to keep the rhythm right?
It's hard to remember. I never listened to the clean one.
Let me try it. Well, we have this one called Death Star, and it goes, the world is freaking turning to poop. Okay, that was not a good example of creativity.
I know. Got the point across, though.
There's some better ones in there, I'm sure.
I know.
There's got to be.
One thing that people might know, if they've been paying attention, Jack, is that you've been doing some movies to some success.
True.
And there's a song on the new record called The Ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage.
Yes.
And that describes these two very good friends who are musicians, one named Jack and one named Cage. And Jack gets really famous doing movies, and the other guy gets really upset about it.
Yeah.
Jealous.
For those that don't know, Kyle is the Rage Cage.
Really? Because I was going to ask, first, if that was autobiographical, and second, which one you were. So I guess my question is that based in truth?
Every word of it is true.
Really?
Every word, yeah. It was a very difficult song to write because of its painful truths. And we weren't going to do it. I mean, we had this title, Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage, brewing for years. And it doesn't sound funny, does it?
No. No, it's very sad, actually.
It was the elephant in the room, and it needed to be written.
Right. So you wrote the elephant. And how are you guys getting along now?
Oh, as long as there's a record deal, we'll always be friends.
Yeah, I understand.
I think I consider Kyle to be my best friend.
And I as well.
Aww. Well, Tenacious D, Jack, and Kyle, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Tenacious D Meet Tenacious P.
So we tried to think of the singer who would be the diametrical opposite of Tenacious D, and who better to fill that role than Mr. Pat Boone? We'll ask you about the cleanest cut guy who ever cut a record. Get two out of three right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in the home answering machine. Carl, who is Tenacious D playing for?
Tenacious D is playing for Dick Fortin of Eaton Center, New Hampshire.
All right, ready to go, guys?
Yes.
And you are allowed.
You're up on your Pat Boone trivia, aren't you?
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay, good.
All right. You are allowed to collaborate, bicker, break up, whatever you need to do to get through this. Here we go.
Okay.
Now, Pat was the master of all media, it seemed, during his heyday in the 50s and the 60s. He even appeared where? Was it A, on a metal record sent into space to greet aliens? B, as a character in the comic book Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane? Or C, he has a cameo as a traveling minstrel in Fellini's cinematic masterpiece, La Strada?
It's A.
It's A? He's on the record sent into space?
Yes.
Do you both agree on this question?
I'm going with Kyle because he's known as the Filofax. Was that on Voyager? I think I saw that on Star Trek.
So your choice is A, the record. I'm afraid it was actually B, the comic book. The record wasn't sent until much later.
Oh,
yeah. You see, in the comic book, which came out in the late 50s, Superman must prevent Pat Boone from singing a song about him, which would reveal his secret identity. He does this.
Man.
He does this by tearing Pat Boone in half with his hands.
Oh, hold on.
Actually, no, I'm kidding. He doesn't really. But you still have two more chances, guys. So here's your next question.
Okay.
Mr. Boone's media career was boosted by his clean-cut image, but sometimes his morals got in the way, as when what happened? A, on the set of his first film, he refused to kiss co-star Shirley Jones because she was married to somebody else. B, he refused to have Elvis Presley on his Pat Boone TV show because, quote, that man's hips makes me think of impure things. Or C, he gave up a lucrative endorsement contract with Canada Dry once he learned that people mix their sodas with alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a stumper. I'm 0 for 1, Jack. I don't know. You may have to take this one.
I hope that it's number 2, because that's just really the funniest of the possibilities. I think it's number 1, though.
You think it's number 1? He refused to kiss Shirley Jones? And that is, in fact, what it was. Very good. Apparently, Mr. Boone was only willing to pretend to be romantically involved with single actresses.
Yeah.
All right, this is good. You're 1 for 1, 1 for 2 with 1 to go. If you get this, you'll win. Here we go. Mr. Boone had an important role in legal history. Was it A, he pioneered the right for a celebrity to control his image when he sued the makers of an adult film called Pat Boom? B, he was the first celebrity endorser sued by the FTC for making false claims about a product? Or C, accused by a fan of untoward advances, he got off with what is now known as the "Who are you kidding? I'm Pat Boone" defense.
It's clearly the second one.
That he was the first celebrity endorser successfully sued by the Federal Trade Commission for making false claims about a product.
Yeah, I like it.
We'll
I like
with number 2.
Yeah, let's put it.
And you're right, guys. That's what it was. He, in the 70s, endorsed an acne cream called Acne Statin. The FTC went after him. They said, no, it doesn't work. And he apologized and said he would not endorse it anymore. Carl, how did Jack and Kyle do in our show?
Jack and Kyle had 2 correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Dick Fortin. Congratulations, guys.
Tenacious D's new album is Rise of the Phoenix. It's out now. Jack and Kyle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you. You guys are great.
Take care. Thanks.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. The George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to more than 400 international companies at powerofideas.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks, our house manager is Don Hall, our assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is You're the Sethest Around, No One's Ever Going to Keep You Down, Kelly, our web guru is Beth Novi, engineers include Lester Larchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover, Miles Dornbos, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Yan. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Thanks to Carl Castle. Thanks to all the panelists and guests you heard this week. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll be back with you next week. This is NPR.